Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
All right, Shive, here we go. 3, 2, 1.
It's time now for the BetQL Boston Podcast. Let's run the slate with your host, Mike Mananski.
That was a terrible third quarter last night, Shive, huh?
Absolutely brutal, Mutt. It was disgusting, to be honest with you.
My poor kids, they can't watch the games on 8:45 at night. My 9-year-old's way more into the younger one. But I said, I'll pause it at halftime, and I'll write down the score for you. So before school, when they get up, they get to watch the second half. They fast-forward the DVR. And they saw Celtics up 8 at halftime, and then my son's like, what just happened?
Like, it was the exact same thing as Game 5 against the Bucks.
Yeah, that was an awful third quarter. And we'll get to the bets here in a second. I'll say that, but the game changed, obviously, at about 6 o'clock last night. No Al Horford, no Marcus Smart. We alluded to Marcus Smart not playing. We had no idea about the Al Horford COVID stuff. That thing could linger, which is affecting my opinion on this entire series going forward. But I'm not even sure that was the excuse, Shime. I thought Ime Udoka had a really good point after the game and rewatching that second half this morning. Like, it wasn't role players. It was Tatum and Brown who disappeared for the entire third quarter. They got pushed around by Jimmy Butler and by Bam Adebayo. The Heat flexed their muscles, and the Celtics backed down. It was the stars, not the role players of the Celtics that lost in that game.
Yeah, 100%. I think the only one of those two that were out that I think would have made any difference in that game would have been Marcus Smart, just because then Tatum would not have been controlling the offense the entire third quarter, because he kept getting his pocket picked left and right and getting passes intercepted and all that crap. Marcus Smart would have been the one driving the ball up the court there. Marcus Smart would have been driving the offense and getting the ball to Jason Tatum once in the offensive zone, not necessarily bringing the ball up over half court and then getting picked by Oladipo and going the other way. So I agree with you. I don't think it was any of the role players' fault last night. It was Jason Tatum. I mean, he had a great first half, 21 awesome. Points in the first half, and awesome. Then had 8 points in the second half. Just straight up disappeared, and it was brutal.
Yeah, he did nothing in the third quarter. The team didn't, and the numbers stand out. And this is a very good reference point to the 2020 Eastern Conference Finals in a second. But 8 of the Celtics' 16 turnovers, Shime, came in the third quarter. In the postseason, their third quarters have been terrible. They're a negative 4.7 net rating. In the regular season, they were plus 11.8. That was best in the NBA. They were the best net rating team third quarter in the entire league. They're a negative 4.7. They were 2 of 15 last night shooting in the third quarter. 0 for 7 from 3. 8 turnovers led to 12 points for the Miami Heat the other way. Khedive got smoked in the second half in points in the paint. And again, I mentioned the 2020 Eastern Conference Final. That game two was the exact same thing. Celtics won 3 of the 4 quarters, got blown out in the third quarter, and that's what Miami does. Their experience, they'll take one stretch of the game, completely own you, and it doesn't matter what happens. They play even, whatever, lose by a couple points. They are able to find that weak underbelly, and I feel like Spoelstra pointed out how bad the Celtics have been in the third quarter, and the Heat just jumped on. Like, the game had restarted there for them. I think experience played a factor. Fatigue was definitely a factor in that second half.
Yes, for sure.
We talked about teams playing a game 7, having to play a game 1. Like, even if Horford and Smart play, I don't think the Celtics win that game based on the way that Tatum and Brown played in the second half. But the fatigue, I thought, Shime, played a major advantage for Miami there in the final 24 minutes.
Yeah, I 100% agree. And not only are the Celtics, they've been awful in the third quarter here in the playoffs, Miami's been the best third quarter team in basketball in the playoffs. They were like plus 77 in third quarter so far in the playoffs. Wow. And after last night, they're now plus 102. Like, it is insane how much Miami was able to take advantage of that, and they really thrived. Jimmy Butler, who struggled a little bit in the first half, absolutely lit it up in the second half. And to be honest, the Celtics just didn't stand a chance.
They did not. And again, they kind of made it a game there in the fourth quarter. They cut it to single digits a couple different times. But to me, it never felt like a game that was going to go their way. And it happened all there in the third quarter. It happened because of Jason Tatum and Marcus Smart. And so what I wanted to happen happened, right? We'll get to the betting on the game itself here. Well, I could do the betting on the game right here. I had the under. That was dead. You had the Celtics. That was dead. Some of the props came home. The Tatum assist prop easily covered.
Yep.
Did I read this morning the Derek White prop never got there?
It did. He had three at halftime and then had one in the second half. So he missed by a half an assist.
That is brutal.
Just absolutely devastating.
That is rough. What else in this game do we have?
I had Horford, but that was a no play since he didn't end up playing. And then Bam Adebayo was nowhere to be found in the second half, so I did not get the over 8.5 assists out of Bam either.
And look, I would point out that we talked about this game at 10 o'clock when we had certain information about the game.
Yep.
It changed. So obviously the bets went a certain way. I'm not going to blame it on that. But hopefully you're able to make adjustments. Like Tyler Devitt, the producer from Maloney and Fourier, pointed out, like, isn't the game more likely to go over now, Mutt, because there's no Marcus Smart, the defensive player of the year. And he was right. And I didn't hedge. I still took a big loss on the under last night. But hopefully other people did not make that same investment. And just like anything else, when you get new information like that, it is perfectly acceptable in my mind, Shime, if you bet the game a certain way and you live in a state or you live somewhere where you can bet or you have a website where you can, you know, I won't say legally, but you can bet in Massachusetts. Like, in racing, I'll hedge out of bets all the time.
Yeah, that's what I did last night. I hedged out of the Celtics money line. Because as soon as I saw Horford and Smart were out, I texted you and said, oh, you were right. The Heat are going to win game one. Yep. And so what did I do? I went and hedged a little bit, and I took the Heat -4.5 at that point because I was like, I need to be careful here. And luckily that covered, and it saved my ass a little bit.
Yep, and it's part of the stuff you learn when you start to look at these things every day and you treat it like an investment. Versus fun money, it's to break even on a bet where your first bet was made with certain information, and then information changes. To me, that's okay. Like I'm totally okay with that. I wouldn't even call it hedging, Shime. It's just, I don't know. It's protecting your money. You made a bet when you thought something was true. Ends up it's not true. They're still allowing you to bet. In racing, you can cancel your bets. You can't cancel your bets in sportsbooks. So what you have to do is you have to go in and sort of hedge out of it. So I'm sure people did that. So my whole thing, so we didn't do well in game one. My whole premise was lose game one, and then I can bet the series going forward. Well, now given the Horford stuff and given the Smart stuff, like what do I do? I was going to go two fists all in on this series price at plus 125, plus 130, plus 135. It's sitting at plus 125. But there is no information on Horford right now. Nothing on Marcus Smart. Robert Williams left the game late. They're saying it's just a mild, some sort of cramping issue. But based on the fact this guy has missed 40% of his games in the NBA so far, I can't trust that. So am I being a wuss here? Or am I playing it smart to say out loud this morning, I cannot confidently, as we stand right now, do the thing I had planned on doing based on what happened last night?
No, I think that's a smart thing to do, Mud. I think with the information you have, standing by and waiting has to be the play at this point, because there's just so many unknowns that you cannot take that risk, especially for the value that you're going to get. Like, it's not worth it.
You just said that. It's funny. You said it's risk. Like, it's sports betting. But it's speculative investment is really what it is. And so am I now willing to invest X amount of dollars in something where, forget the injuries for a second, we've seen the pictures of Al Horford. He flew with the team. He was with the team in practice. He wasn't wearing a mask. Then we find out there are other staffers. We find out just yesterday other staffers have it. Like, to me, it's not crazy, and I'm not wishing this on the Celtics at all. And the idea that COVID could derail their season is mind-blowing to me. But it's not nuts scientifically that they have an outbreak, it screws them for the series, and they end up losing because they're never at full strength in the next 2 weeks.
Bingo.
I'm not wishing that, Shime, but that
but it's
is
a
now
possibility.
It's now in the range of outcomes. Yes,
as a sports gambler, you have to take into account every possible risk. This is a massive, massive possible risk for you. You cannot in good conscience then go against that fully with a large investment, knowing the amount of risk that's at play.
And by the way, I said their series price was plus 120. It went up to 125. I'm now looking at FanDuel. It's plus 130.
Yeah.
So their odds are going up because the same thing that I'm dealing with Other people are dealing with the Heat are minus 155 now to outright win the series, which makes a lot of sense given how well they played last night. They have home court and the Celtics issue. So I admit right now fully at 11:13 a.m. Tuesday morning, you're hearing this later Wednesday morning, I'm sorry, I don't have a dime in the Celtics right now to win this series. I need more information. If you've got a better stomach than I do or tougher stomach than I do, go ahead and bet it at plus 130 because it's only going to go down. The second Al Horford is clear for game two, or we hear Marcus Smart's going to play, or hey, there's no COVID outbreak, that number's going back down. So if you want to add some risk into it, maybe the 130 is worth it to you. It is not worth it for me. As far as the game two price, early look ahead to Thursday night, and again, 845 or so. This line opened at 5. It is now anywhere between 3.5 and 4.5, so there is some Celtic money coming in early here. The total is 206, and it stayed 206. The money line... the Celtics money line's been bet down. It opened at plus 170. It's now down to plus 155. Maybe people gambling that, hey, it's worth it. You mentioned yesterday, Shime, Celtics don't lose two games in a row.
Yep.
Maybe, but I didn't see enough last night, even at plus 155, to make me want to jump in before knowing the status of Horford and Smart.
Yeah, if the Celtics are plus money, I'll probably dabble on the money line. I'm just going to wait for information until tomorrow, I think, at this point. There's no point in jumping in now.
There's also, I can't give you any early prop leans because there's no rotational stuff yet. Like, who knew Aaron Nesmith
gets in?
Aaron Nesmith playing last night? Like, so I can't even.
That's how you know the Celtics were down bad, is that Aaron Nesmith was on the court in a playoff game.
And I am the biggest Aaron Nesmith fan. Like, he looked kind of like Marcus Smart last night. Played unbelievable defense, good rebounding, still offensively can't find
it. Great block.
But if he's asked to play meaningful minutes, like, that's not good.
Agreed.
So I'm stuck. Right now, I'm in betting, sports betting purgatory. I want to bet the Celtics. We have a COVID outbreak. Marcus Smart is hurt. Williams is banged up. I have money I want to bet, and I can't bet it. I have money I want to bet, and I can't bet it.
I'm sorry, Mutt. It's okay. I have places for you to bet your money if you want. The Prince of Pucks is here, Mutt.
Okay, let's turn our attention. A lot more Celtics breakdown tomorrow on BetQL Boston. Let's turn our attention. 1-1 last night, Prince of Pucks.
Yeah, 1-1 last night. We missed on the Panthers three-way money line there. They got up 1-0 right away, and I was like, okay, this is good. They look exactly how I expected them to look.
They got blown out, correct?
Yeah, they got their doors blown off. I really regret not having more conviction in Nikita Kucherov to have a goal yesterday because he, in fact, scored one and had an assist. So I missed out on plus 170 there. But... I was dead on exactly how the Blues Avalanche would play out. Avalanche a little rusty to start the game. Jordan Binnington also stood on his freaking head. He had 51 saves in that game. That game ended up going to overtime. We had the Blues on the puck line at +1.5.
Nice.
So we hit there when the Avalanche won 3-2.
All right, we have two more games today in the NHL. But we're going to have doubleheaders in the NHL for the next 2 weeks.
Love it.
Prince of Pucks is going to be busy. Rangers-Hurricanes game one. Oilers Flames game two. Give us the Prince of Pucks locks
for
game ones tonight, buddy.
I am all over this Hurricanes game. This Hurricanes team, we got to watch them firsthand in 7 games. They are outright better than this New York Rangers team. This New York Rangers team had to give everything they possibly could in order to beat a e-bug goalie in 3 games in a row in Pittsburgh. And those 2 games prior in Pittsburgh, they got absolutely blown out the door, 7-2 and 7-3. This game is at Carolina. I think Carolina is straight up the best team in the East. The only team that I think that can compete with them is the Tampa Bay Lightning. So I think Carolina comes out hot. They're going to win this game. I'm going to go Carolina on the puck line at -1.5. So you're going to get that at +158. I love that value. I also love the over 6 in this game. Like I said, the last time when the Rangers weren't playing with their backs against the wall, they got absolutely demolished in Pittsburgh. I expect the same kind of thing here in Carolina. So I expect that game to have a lot of goals scored. Igor Shesterkin, as good as he was in the regular season, has not been great in the playoffs. Over 6 goals at -102, basically even money, I really like as well in that game. And then
late Oilers Flames?
Yeah, Oilers Flames game. I just have one play here, I think, really. I don't have a good feeling on the total. Calgary's totals were very low. Edmonton's were generally high, but a couple of games there were shutouts, and it's weird. What I'm going to do instead is I'm going to make a play on the guy who's probably the most exciting player in hockey, that's Connor McDavid, to have over 1.5 points in the game at -120. A little bit of juice there, but I'm just rooting for Connor McDavid. I think that's a fun play, and it's a bet that I actually really like.
All right, so there you go. We got 2 Prince of Pucks bets there. I'm with you on the Hurricanes, and I'll be placing the Hurricanes over. A little mini parlay to keep my action fresh tonight. Dibble dabble pizza money, as
Hell
we
yeah.
call it here.
Just for those who are curious,
yes.
Puck line and the over parlay. For some reason,
yes.
it won't let me. It's not letting me parlay these on FanDuel for some reason right now,
Excuse
so I don't
me.
Have the value all of a sudden.
Excuse me, FanDuel. Let's not do. Let's not. FanDuel,
right.
Not, not
some of your selections can't be combined into a single parlay. What is this?
We are frustrated. Do you have something else locked in there? Yeah, we'd have a third game queued up there.
No, I got nothing. This is weird. I don't know. We'll figure it out. Either way, -1.5 on the puck line for the Hurricanes at +158 and over six.
Red Sox is the one thing we got right last night. Jose Altuve over 1.5 total bases, hit the
Nailed
double
that.
In the second inning. There were 5 home runs against Nate Eovaldi last night in the second inning.
Absolutely pumped.
And I will give our Red Sox producer, Ben Charleston, a lot of credit. He's not on this podcast, obviously, and he's a golf bettor himself. We'll talk some PGA Championship betting here in a second. He said off the air, I wish I could bet home runs given up by Nate Eovaldi. And I started looking. They don't have that stat. I wish they offered that. And he was right because he only gave up five in that second inning there.
Only five.
They got blown out. They are facing a really good pitcher tonight, Luis Garcia. I think it'll be a low-scoring game tonight, but the total's not my favorite bet. I'm on Luis Garcia under 1.5 walks, Sean Time. Pitching prop.
Ooh, okay.
Under 1.5 walks is +135. He has 6 starts this year. 3 of those he's walked 1. The other 3 he's only walked 2. 9 walks on the year. Only 33 1/3. The Red Sox don't walk. They swing at everything. Luis Garcia is one of the best pitchers in the American League right now. He shut down the Red Sox in Game 6 of the ALCS a year ago. He's out to a great start. His whip is under 1 to start the year. He's got a 2.94 ERA. He's one of the best young pitchers in baseball. Red Sox swing at everything. He doesn't walk anybody. Give me under 1.5 walks, Luis Garcia, at +135. There's your baseball prop bet.
I love
Red
that.
Sox
and let Ben Charleston know that, at least on FanDuel, you can bet the over-under of hits allowed by the pitcher. So next time, if he feels like Nate Eovaldi is just going to get whacked around again, might be a play he can look into.
We will let Ben know that. So there you go. There's your hockey for tonight. You got a baseball prop, and we will sit in purgatory. Sports betting purgatory for some Celtics news, and I'll be efforting information from beat writers that I can DM in the next 24 hours to find out what the heck is going on. You can certainly help us out. Before we're going to talk golf in here a second with our buddy Ryan Hannibal, BetMGM, PGA Championship, long shots to bet this weekend, second major of the year. Before we talk to Ryan Hannibal, the one way you can help this podcast is very simple. Well, you can tell a friend, that certainly helps. But subscribe to our podcast feeds. It lets Big Daddy Odyssey know we are growing and we got more things to offer you folks as a listening audience. Subscribe very simply on the Odyssey app. Search BetQL Boston. Hit the orange subscribe button. You get the podcast right there on your iPhone or listening device. You go to iTunes like I do. Search again BetQL Boston. See the logo there. Subscribe. Get the podcast every single day. And Shime is on Spotify. Tell people Shime on Spotify how to get it done.
All you got to do is go to the search bar, type in BetQL Boston will be the number one search result right there. You click that. There's a little follow button in the left, and underneath there's actually even a rating button you can click. Give us 5 stars while you're at it.
And as you subscribe to the BetQL Boston podcast, you do so for the Boston betting content on the Patriots, Celtics, Red Sox, Bruins, etc., and also for the big events like the PGA Championship, second major of the year. Our buddy Ryan Hannibal, formerly WEEI.com, now golf expert, he wants to be known as, for BetMGM, joins us to find some long shot bets and plays for the second major of the year. Hannibal, what's going on, buddy?
Hey, Mutt, how's it going?
It's going good. Say hello to Chris Scheim. He's here, too.
What's up, Hannibal?
Hi, Scheim. I miss you.
It's been a while, bud. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm ready to win some money. That's what I'm ready for.
What do you mean?
Ready to win money.
This is true.
How's Hannibal? Hannibal's life now is writing about golf betting. His life is great. I want Hannibal's job.
It is great, and some free time to play golf. What could be better?
Look at that.
We'll talk about your game at some other point. We're here to talk about the second major of the year, the PGA Championship. I want to start with the course itself. Southern Hills Golf Club there in Tulsa, Oklahoma. They played here in 2007, Tiger won. But everything I'm reading here, Hannibal, says it's a much different course. Give us an idea of what we're facing this weekend, meaning Thursday, 8 a.m. tee time there in Oklahoma.
Yeah, they had a restoration since the last time Tiger played there and won. And they basically tore down a ton of trees to open it up. They added in some bunkers. And then the biggest thing is they changed the complexes of the greens, where they basically got rid of the rough around the green and they elevated the greens and made some runoffs. So we're going to see, I think it's comparable to Augusta in a way.
Ooh,
the the guy that did the original design, I believe his name is Perry Maxwell, going way back. He also did some work at Augusta, so there definitely is some carryover there. So I'm actually looking at guys that played well at Augusta and have good course history at Augusta to carry it over this week at Southern Hills.
Only two par fives here. So you're looking at, is there any other stats you're looking at? Is it par four scoring? Is it bogey avoidance? I mean, the two par fives I'm looking at are both over 600 yards. So the course history with Augusta tied into it. How about golfer profile, guys? What are you looking for with the players you want to bet here this weekend in the PGA Championship?
I don't think length's going to be a big thing here. Like, I think that's going to be a neutralizing field. Like, the guys that hit it the longest aren't going to have a big advantage, especially if the course plays hard and firm. Probably bogey avoidance. I mean, that's just always a key in major championship. And then also with, the greens, like I mentioned, and kind of the runoff, I think chipping's going to be very important. So guys that maybe struggle around the greens might not have as good of a chance this week.
It's an awesome field for this thing, so there's no significant favorite. But in the betting market, we're talking Wednesday morning, so this could change, but I don't think it'll change significantly, depending on the weather, which we'll get to. Scheffler and McIlroy around 12-1. Spieth and Rahm both 14-1. Cam Smith, Justin Thomas, Victor Hovland 18-1. Those are all the guys under 20-1. Of those six sort of bigger names, and I'm not a big fan of betting these favorites, even at these prices in any type of event like this, because the fields are so good and so many things can happen. But of those six there, Scheffler, McIlroy, Spieth, Rahm, Cam Smith, or Justin Thomas, we'll add Victor Hovland there as well. Of those seven, Hannibal, the favorites we'll call them, who would stand out as a guy you would most likely to win, maybe not bet, but most likely to win amongst that group?
Justin Thomas. I just think he's due. He hasn't won since the 2020 Players' Championship. He's been close. It's not like he's, been out of the mix. He's been in the mix almost every week. He goes on these runs, it seems like, at least one round in these big tournaments that he's just the best player in the field, and he just struggles another day that kind of takes himself out of the tournament. Like, he had a bad Thursday at Augusta last month and had a great rest of the tournament. If you take away Thursday, he's probably right there come Sunday afternoon. He's just too good of an all-around player, and I think that's what this course is going to demand. And like I said, I just think he's due for a win. His only major is the PGA Championship, so maybe he has some good vibes there. So I just like Thomas. His ball striking's too good, and like I said, he's due.
18-1 right now for Justin Thomas. But you're not a favorites player either. You're a long shots player. In fact, looking at BetMGM.com right now, you wrote a column yesterday. Five intriguing long shots for the PGA Championship. That's what people are listening. They want long shots. They want prices, even if they're dibble-dabbling with some pizza money, right? We want the long shots. That's how I like to play the golf tournaments. Give us the names you like and the prices you like as the longest of odds plays here in the PGA, Hannibal.
Cameron Young is my probably play of the week. I'm going to be playing him probably a little bit for some outright wins and then sprinkle in some maybe top 10s and top 20s. He's one of the best ball strikers on tour. He's a rookie out of Wake Forest. He's just emerged as a guy that's going to be, I think he's going to be a stud on the PGA Tour. He contended at the Genesis earlier this year in a strong field. He contended, I believe, at the RBC in the last couple of weeks. He's just a strong all-around player. I like the way that he hits his irons. And a lot of people have compared him to Will Zalatoris, who I'm a big fan of too. And they think Cameron Young's going to win first over Will Zalatoris to get the first PGA Tour win. Obviously, probably early for a major, but who knows? If he hits his ball as well as he has for the majority of this year and his putter gets hot, I like him. I believe he was plus 8,000 to win. So he's my favorite overall long shot play. And then I like Kevin Kisner too. He's kind of a guy that doesn't do well at long courses, but this course doesn't demand length. And I look at him and his success at Austin Country Club in the match play, and kind of this course could be similar in the way that it plays firm and fast. And we've seen just his way to grind. If this course plays tough and the scoring's high, that's probably a good thing for him too. So look at Kevin Kisner as a long shot there.
So he was 80-1. He's been bet down in some places 50-1. Sean, maybe you're seeing FanDuel there, but I know on DraftKings he's bet down at 50-1 and only 4.5-1 to go the top 10. And I'll give there's a golf internet rumor out there, Hannibal, about Cam Young, and unsubstantiated. So take this for what it's worth. But the weekend where Tiger flew into the PGA, played the Southern Hills, and played practice round there, Cam Young was there as well. And the reports locally were Cam Young tore up that course. Cam Young loved the course. So there's some buzz locally in Oklahoma that he likes this place. So you might be on a buzz golfer this weekend.
I didn't hear that, but it just furthers my theory on Cam Young. It could be a big week for the rookie. I'm all in on him. Love
all right, I'll give you my long prices. I can't bet favorites here. How about Hideki Matsuyama? 22-1, has won the Masters before, plays well on tough courses. Quick read on Matsu.
I like him. I think I have him playing one of my tournament matchups. I forget who I had him going up against. I want to say it was either Hovland or Morikawa. Both Hovland and Morikawa struggle around the green, so I like Hideki in that matchup. And kind of like what you said, he has that success at Augusta. Obviously, he's won there. He hits his irons really well. The thing with him is his putter sometimes it's streaky, and if this is a good week for that, I think he's the guy to definitely consider and be up there. So if you're looking for, you know, a solid player, a guy that's won a major before but isn't up there as, you know, one of the big tournament favorites, I think Hideki's a great play.
So, Hannibal, I saw you. You talked a little bit about Tiger Woods and some of the props around him. He's as a kid growing up in the heyday of Tiger Woods. Whenever I have the opportunity to bet on him now as an adult, I want to do it. What would be my best play if I was targeting any kind of prop around Tiger Woods?
Just like it was for the Masters, just to make the cut. I think I saw that at BetMGM at -120, I believe. You're getting plus money at the Masters, so it's not as great right now. But just look at the way that he played at the Masters. He was great the first 2 days and then struggled on the weekend. A lot of that probably had to do with the health of his leg, just the 4 days wore on him. So he was obviously better the first two, and I think it's the same thing. This week, he's probably going to be stronger the first couple days. It's probably better for him that it's warmer and not like Augusta where it was cold all 4 days. And just also, too, when you look at the cut, they take the top 70 in ties. That's one of the bigger cut, you know, numbers on the PGA Tour. So they're taking more players on the weekend, so he has a better chance of doing that. Obviously, the history at Southern Hills, so it's not, you know, great value at -120, but I like his chances to make the cut for sure.
He gave us 50-1 shot, Tiger to make the cut, which I think is a really good bet. It's not exciting bet, but I think it's a safe bet heading into the weekend. Have you checked the weather at all, Hannibal? I know that it can be very windy in Tulsa. Is the weather factoring into any of your plays for guys trying to make the cut before Saturday?
Not really. I mean, I don't think it's going to be major. I think that the wind is kind of streaky there. Like sometimes it'll come up out of nowhere. It's supposed to be hot the first couple days and then get a little hot, meaning 90s, and then cooled down to the 70s over the weekend. I haven't seen anything significant about like huge wind stuff or, you know, any rain coming in that could impact the draw. So I don't think weather is a huge factor. I mean, sure, you probably want to look at guys that do play well in the wind if you want to look at some advantage there. But overall, I'm not really taking too much of that as a factor.
Give us 50-1 shot in Cam Young. He's 4.5 to finish top 10. Anything else? Any other golfers you want to point out for the people? They can also check out your article at betmgm.com.
Yeah, I got one I'm working on right now, the 10 best bets that I'm placing. That should be up sometime this afternoon. But I'm going through my list as I'm saying them out to you guys. You're getting actually a free preview of this.
Oh, beautiful.
Will Zalatoris, top five. I think he was my play at the Masters. I wanted to play him this week. He didn't play well last week with Byron Nelson. He's due for a win. Like, he's too good of a player not to win on the PGA Tour. And I've actually sprinkled some money on him basically every time he's teed it up the last probably 4 or 5 months. And I'm due to have that payoff at some point. He hits his irons very, very well. He just struggles around the greens with his putting. And we saw him change his putting stroke earlier this year at the World Match Play. It seemed to improve a little bit. Same thing at the Masters. So if the ball striking stays the same like it has been, and he could just find his putting to get average relative to the rest of the field, he's definitely going to be up there on Sunday.
Will Zalatoris, I'm seeing 6-1 to finish in the top 10. So you'll have an article with some more betting advice, people, for Thursday.
One more.
Oh, keep
Davis
going.
Riley.
Keep going. Jeez, go ahead.
Davis Riley, top 20. You're getting good value on that. He's one of the young, you know, he's had a good last month or so. I'm not saying he's the guy that's going to be in the top 10 and compete to win, but he's had some strong finishes. He played well last week at the Byron Nelson. So he's just a guy that people probably don't know about, but I like him to finish in the top 20. Cashed for me last week, the same bet at the Byron Nelson, so let's carry it over again this week.
All right, I'll leave you my last big long shot, and then I'll let Shime wrap up with anything else. You've given us a bunch of good stuff here for the PGA. How about Alex Noren at a ridiculous 100-1? He played well on windy courses. Patty Harrington won a PGA Championship coming over from Europe. He's a monster price. He hit the avoids bogeys as well as anybody on tour. Long shot, big play, Alex Noren. Your thoughts?
Don't mind it. He's kind of been up and down the last couple of years, but he had a stretch a couple of years ago that he was contending in majors, and I want to say he's one of the better putters on the PGA Tour when he gets hot. So that's kind of all it takes in these majors is 1 week where your putter is on fire and you're right up there at the top of the leaderboard. So I don't really hate that at all. They're definitely worse place that you could find there at that price especially.
Listen, you're on a podcast that told people last Saturday and Sunday about KH Lee at 35-1. He got home.
50-1, Mike.
Oh, sorry, 50-1. My bad.
KH Lee, I'm going. What?
Are you betting KH Lee this weekend?
No, I am not betting KH Lee. No.
Hannibal, last question for you from me. So when you're looking at players to make or miss the cut, is there any guys that are kind of like favorites in this tournament that you could see end up missing the cut completely?
That's tough to say, but like I'm looking at some stats from the majors. Patrick Cantlay stinks the majors. Like he's a guy that you would think would do a lot better at these major tournaments. FedEx Cup champion last year, just doesn't have, you know, a lot of great finishes there. I'm not saying he's going to miss the cup, but he's a guy that I'm definitely staying away from this week. And then guys like Colin Morikawa and Victor Hovland, they struggle a lot. They struggle big time around the greens. And like I said, chipping and putting is going to come into play a lot this week. Those guys are, you know, heavy, not heavy favorites, but they're up there, you know, on the odds board. But I just kind of could see this course not playing into well with their games. They struggle around the greens. Everyone's talking about their ball striking, which is great. But if they miss the greens, they're kind of in trouble. And if that happens a lot this week, maybe that's an opportunity for them to miss the cut. Another guy I want to play to miss the cut, I couldn't find it available on BetMGM, is Bryson DeChambeau, coming in not healthy. Maybe some people in the golf world just think he's fine and didn't have wrist surgery last month. So he's a guy I would pick to miss the cut. I did that at the Masters, and that paid off.
And I'm not seeing it either on the website I'm looking at either. Maybe it's an injury thing, and they're dead worried about the liability of an injury to withdraw, which could be an issue there.
Right.
I love betting on golf. I think betting on golf is one of the best sweats you can have in all of betting. You have the sweat to see if your guy makes the cut, then the sweat on Saturday, and then on Sunday. You can live bet the event throughout the entire thing, see KH Lee. There's awesome DFS stuff with it as well. And Hannibal is a degenerate, folks. People that don't know, just know him from, you know, Andy Hart's podcast buddy, hanging out with Scheim and folks on the Patriots podcast. He is a true golf degenerate. He watches every round. He bets every round. He's live betting each way's one-and-done tournament. So when he says Cam Young 50-1, you better freaking listen. Ryan Hannibal on Twitter, BetMGM, where you can get his stuff, including a new article coming out at some point here Wednesday afternoon. Hannibal, enjoy the coverage this weekend. Enjoy wherever you're playing right now, and we'll talk golf again soon, buddy. Thank you.
Good stuff, guys. Always good joining you guys.
Thanks, Hannibal.
All right, go follow Hannibal on Twitter at Ryan Hannibal, his content up at BetMGM. I'm with him. Scheim on Cam Young. I'll have some Hideki Matsuyama at 20-1. I'll have some Brooks Koepka at 55-1, and Mito Pereira is my longest. Well, Alex Noren's 80-1 too, so I kind of like him. And Mito Pereira, 80-1, hits the ball low with the wind chime time. I see some wind in the forecast. The next 2 days in Oklahoma, I want to play price, and then of course I'll be live betting this thing as we did all Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get some bets in on this and be a better PGA Tour better. I'm excited to listen to Hannibal more. Make sure to follow him over at BetMGM and on Twitter as well.
All right, Scheim, we will we'll preview Celtics and Bucks game 2 tomorrow, hopefully with more injury information. Take care, pal.
Can't wait, Mutt. See ya.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with 3 friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.